Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Are you out and about on this juicy Tuesday morning? How about that? Dave Murray has added a new word to his forecast.
Okay, what does it mean to be juicy?
Quite frankly, I don't know. We're just a little uncomfortable
humid?
With that this morning. I guess. It's thick. It's thick outside, right?
Moist.
It's moist.
That's women
my
hate
daughter
that
hates
word.
That.
I know.
She hates
women,
that word.
We really don't like that word.
My daughter hates that word. It makes her uncomfortable for some
reason.
Would
she prefer juicy?
I don't know. I doubt it for some odd reason. Can I tell you welcome into the show, by the way. I can tell you the ongoing dispute in my family that popped up again yesterday. When my wife and I were in Herman one time at the Worst Fest down there, where I'm sure it was juicy because it was hot as hell, and when they do that every year, and we bought some homemade sausage in Herman that has apples in it. It just blended in with
good.
The mixture, right?
I had
it's
those.
Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
We bring it home, we cook it up for the kids, we give it to them. They both about gagged. And to this day, they give us grief over it, that we tried to poison them with sausages that had apple in it. And my daughter went somewhere yesterday and saw this on the menu. And she sent us all a picture of it, still complaining about it. So, see, these things come back to haunt you.
It's really random, but I appreciate
I know.
Knowing the story. Were the sausages juicy?
They were juicy.
Okay.
They were.
See, okay, that's the tie-in.
Was the tie-in.
Yeah.
Just so you know. Just kind of random.
Really made
so
you think of those sausages.
It did. That's exactly what it made me think of. Speaking of the younger generation, coming up, we're going to talk more about, work ethics, lack of, burnout in this new generation that's just entering the workforce. I didn't know about it, but apparently there's a new study out that finds young workers are just ready to quit. They're just going to walk away from it all because I'm sure they're out there digging ditches and sweating and they just don't like it in these conditions. I don't know. Bottom of the hour, we'll talk to our friend John Lamping, former state senator. We got a little surprise for him this morning when we get him on the air. And, of course, we'll get to any other news before the end of the hour. Promise you that. Right now, Ethan, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
71% of the country's GDP comes from blue counties.
Mm-hmm.
These same crack-up counties with all these crazy liberals that can't get out of their own way and the world's come to an end. It's 71% of the economy of the country, man.
Yeah, Gavin Newsom dropping a lot of GDs yesterday in his podcast. This guy is scary good on camera. Can I just tell you that? I said that one time about one other politician. When I met him, when he was a young U.S. senator, and his name was Barack Obama, the Gavin Newsom frightens me.
Democratic Party is less popular than Elon Musk right now. That should be like a wake-up call, how bad. And the Republican Party's stab you in the back. The Democratic Party, we disappoint you.
Wow, Rahm Emanuel, a little overmodulated there, but I think this guy's running for president. I just got to tell you, he's been on every network that'll have him on and being highly critical of his fellow Democrats. I think he's running for president.
John D. Rockefeller, J.C. Penney, Charles Goodyear. They were inspired by their love of God, and now the proud tradition continues with all of you. And this group reminds us, as a nation that prays, is a nation that prospers.
President Trump, they're leading the breakfast there, and I think you detect something new in the year since that assassination attempt, and I really do believe that had a profound impact on him.
For the month of June, the federal government ran a
massive $27 billion surplus.
That's a billion with a B. $27 billion surplus. How about that? And the thing about it is, Jerome Powell was wrong. Jerome Powell, the head of the Fed, and you know, 70 other leading economists who all said tariffs are horrible. You can't do this. It's going to crush the economy. It's going to lead to inflation. And every month when the inflation numbers come out, and they're due out again today, then they look at it and they say, well, it'll happen next month. We're just not seeing it yet. So for 4 months in a row now, they've said, well, I know it didn't happen last month, but it'll happen this month. Well, those numbers are due out this morning, I think at about 7:30 our time. So we're going to be keeping a close eye on that because soon the Fed is going to make another have to make another decision on rate cuts. Now, why do we talk about this so much? Maybe people's eyes gloss over. I don't know. But it's important in so many ways to this economy, and more directly to the point of what the president talks about is that the Fed has got to quit playing politics. Mm-hmm. They're lowering interest rates in Europe. We're sitting on an economy much hotter than what's going on in Europe. Hot is in a good way. When Donald Trump says we're the hottest country in the world, he's not talking about the fact the U.S. is in a bikini or something. He's talking about the fact that people are making money, they're spending money.
Right.
Inflation has not been a problem. A lot of prices have come down or moderated from what they were under the Biden administration.
Better than expected job growth. They were anticipating, what was it, 110,000, and it was closer to 141,000, I think.
Yeah, or maybe a little higher than that.
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, how will CNN and MSNBC, NBC, how will all of those networks be reporting on this today? Because objectively, when you look at the numbers, you have to applaud Trump for what he's been able to do with the economy. You might not like his other policies and the Department of Education and other things that he's implemented so far in the six or so months he's been president, but how can you objectively look at the economy and say it's not at least going in the right direction?
Well, I mean, so, not many, but a few have admitted it. Here was CNBC reporting on the surplus, and they had a butt monkey at the end of this, but I edited that out because I didn't want to hear it. Because they've got to have some excuse for why this isn't really what you think it is.
Hey, Kelly, always our best look at tariff revenue every month. But first, top line, it was a mixed bag this month for the U.S. Treasury. On an unadjusted basis, the U.S. government had a $27 billion surplus for the month. And that compares with about a $20.5 billion deficit expected among economists surveyed by Dow Jones.
They expected a $20 billion deficit. So for the year, the U.S. is still facing like a $1.7 billion deficit is what they're expecting. What if you had, what if every month between now and the rest of the year, we had a $27 billion surplus? You see, this doesn't affect the national debt, which is in the trillions of dollars, but it would keep us from adding to it. And this is what drives the left crazy in this country. They're not ever going to admit they were wrong. They have a hard time saying that word. Did you hear how she described that? She led off with saying, well, we have a mixed bag economically. But this month, with unadjusted numbers, we're looking at a $27 billion a boon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all from tariffs. Remember when they were giving us fake job numbers out of the White House?
Yeah, they added, what was it? It was like 700,000 jobs.
Yes.
It was that they'd added that weren't actually a thing.
Did you ever hear CNBC lead that story by saying, we have a mixed bag on economic news? The White House tells us they've created 700,000 jobs so far this year. But of course, it was. They waited a long time to revise it because they were lying about it for political purposes. This is not the White House putting these numbers out on. This is the CBO or whoever's tracking the deficit. This is the federal government's reporting. Hey, we had more revenue last month, $27 billion more revenue than we spent. That's huge.
So just to note, a couple people on Facebook are commenting about this. So Bindi says, why is the price of coffee so high right now at stores? And then Lisa, who we call Mama K, you've probably heard us call her that. She says the cost of beef has gone up. She says, is it because we don't ship our cattle to China for processing China. And tariff it back to America? But have you noticed any other price? I haven't specific. I go to Costco a lot, and I feel like prices, well, because I get it in bulk, but I don't feel like I've noticed any particular item that's gone up in price.
No. I mean, I don't think that I have. Egg prices are clearly
down.
Way down. Right. Gas prices are
down.
Up a little bit.
Well, but they're down from what they might be up from what they were,
correct.
But they're down from when Biden was
down
in office.
From when the president took office.
Right.
They dipped. They went back up just a little bit when we bombed Iran, even though we don't get a significant amount of our oil, any significant amount from that part of the country or the world. It still had an impact on the markets. And now, since that's all over with, and it's in the rearview mirror, I don't understand why gas and diesel prices are still 30 cents higher a gallon. It just doesn't make sense to me. There needs to be somebody out there smarter than me can explain that one. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about this issue with this younger generation already deciding that they're burnt out in the workforce and maybe why that is. I don't know. We'll talk about it.
Hey, it's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Comedy Podcast. We've been described as unscripted, unqualified, and unapologetic. And that came from my mother. See if you agree. The Commercial Break is available Tuesday through Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, do you feel like you've installed a good work ethic in your kids? Do you feel like they work as hard as you think you've worked in your life to get where you are? I mean, I've been working since I was 14 years old. I remember Mom had to take me and drop me off at the amusement park where I worked for $1.40 an hour. I mean, I've just always worked my whole life. And getting up at 3 in the morning, you don't do that unless you have a good work ethic.
No, it's true. I grew up learning how to, value money and to work hard for it, and that you shouldn't just have everything handed to you. But I feel like a lot of younger people these days, that's kind of the mindset.
It sure seems like that. Scott Allen Curley joining us right now. He's a keynote speaker. He's an entrepreneur. He's the author of a book called Absolution, The Dark Path to Light. And Scott, thank you for joining us this morning.
Hey, well, thank you so much for having me this morning.
This work ethic question is a good one. I mean, I think every generation would like to think that they've installed a good work ethic in their kids, but Lord knows that's maybe not the case if the study is right.
Yeah, it's like a riddle wrapped in an enigma, I'll tell you. The reason why it's so confusing, in my opinion, is because I'm a Gen Xer. I'm 57, about to be 58. We raised these young people, the ones that we're having the challenges with right now. And you know as well as I do that we had to work. If you were in the house on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, you're either going to get put to work. You had to be outside all day between 8 and 8 o'clock in the morning until the street lights goes off. And if you want to hang out inside, then your mom's going to put your butt to work.
That's right.
Right now it's an interesting dynamic because the young people are so educated because we're in the midst of the information age. We have more information at our fingertips than we ever have in the history of the world. And AI is becoming a big part of our daily lives. And that's part of the problem because now young people who are more engaged in AI than any other generation, they tend to look to AI to do the work for them.
So is that what's causing the burnout? Is it's like using their actual brain instead of just turning to AI? Is just, I can't do it. I can't handle this anymore.
Burnout. How do you get burned out when you haven't even done much to be burned out? I mean, that's weird to me. But I do believe that asking younger people, and I hate to pick on young people, I really do. That's not what this is about. But I do believe that they're just so accustomed to leaning into technology to find the solutions for them and to do the work for them that when they're asked to do it themselves, that's just a weird phenomenon to them.
You know, I know part of the study suggested that 23% are frustrated because they feel like they're they're expected to do more at work without corresponding pay raises. We talk to younger people on here all the time. Nicole Murray comes to mind, who pushes for a four-day work week. And, I mean, it seems to be all about relieving stress, relieving burdens, and all that stuff. Is that realistic? Do you think that those job pressures are there with, I mean, I know a lot of young people right out of college are making a pretty decent salary these days.
I do, too. You know what the biggest stress reliever for is, in my opinion? Making money.
Yeah, well, that can relieve a lot of stress.
You know, if you make – how are you going to expect to work 4 days and only 32 hours or whatever that is? There is a consequence to that. No company is going to pay you a full-time salary for part-time effort. I'm not. And I think that might be lost on a lot of young people. They're not – I don't think they're thinking it all the way through. And like I said, the best stress reliever, money doesn't make you happy. I'll agree with that. But it does help you to relieve stress when you can cover and pay your bills.
Are you seeing the millennial, you're talking about the younger generation particularly, but are you seeing the same level or a similar level of burnout with, say, the Gen Xers or the millennials? Is it
a
cultural thing?
We don't have that issue. I mean, we're in our 50s. The millennials are right behind us. And I don't see a whole lot of that. I think, unfortunately, it's kind of come into play more with the Gen Zers, and you know, I hate to do a blanket indictment on the whole generation, but a lot of it, but I will say a lot of it, and let's be fair, it has something to do with the parenting. What did we do to create this dynamic, you know? And that's, we have to look at that.
It's a fair question. I even get it between my kids. Like, the older two don't think we've required the younger one to work as many summer job hours as they feel like they were forced to work. So maybe there is something to that.
It may be. And, I tell you, the only way to understand a problem is to be able to look at it from all angles. And it's really not anything we can do at this point about this group. But it may be something that this group can do about the upcoming groups.
Well, you hope. You hope.
We hope.
You got to look at this. And how can people find out more about your company, Scott?
Well, I'm CEO of a company called Finish Line Tax Solutions. We help people who have tax problems. So if any of your listeners have a tax problem, have a reach out to us. And I also wrote the book, Absolution, The Dark Path to Light, about my journey from drug addiction, homelessness. I was in prison for 10 years and chose not to take a victim stance and decided to turn turn the way I look at things around. And from that, here I am today.
Well, Scott Allen Curley, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, sir. Good conversation there. Yeah, I think absolutely there's a direct correlation between your expectations for your children. You're going to get pushback. We know that. Everybody's been through it with their parents. They want you to do some things that you don't want to do. But you've got to push that work ethic, because nobody's going to give you anything in this life.
I was going through stuff.
At the end of the day.
I agree. I was going through stuff from my mom that they had in their basement. And, I'll tell you how many chore lists I found. Kim, Michelle, Katie. And we were vacuuming and dishes and laundry. And we did a lot. And that was the expectation. You live here in this home. You're going to help out.
I love that. All right. The governor signed a whole bunch of bills this week. We're going to kick a few of those around with former state senator John Lamping. We'll be back right after the break.
Hey there, it's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Comedy Podcast. Tune into our show and join me in making some regrettable decisions. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, welcome back. We talked a lot about the last legislative session, the pros, the cons. It's over now, including the special session. Yesterday, the governor signing a few of those bills into law that passed. We're going to kick a few of those around, and we want to welcome in State Senator John Lamping with our brand new intro music for him.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
People keep looking to government for the answer, and government's the problem. Government would shut the doors and sneak away for about 3 weeks. We'd never miss them.
Stop thinking about what I want, what he wants, what your parents want. What do you want? Freedom!
I love it. John Lamping, does that get your stamp of approval?
Oh, that's awesome. It's everything I'd like to say in the morning with that much enthusiasm, but it is a little early.
I understand completely, my friend. Well, good to get you in here. You know, Kim and I were just looking at this headline from yesterday before we get into everything the governor signed. One thing the governor pushed for in the special session was this allowance for major league ballparks to keep tax dollars, and that's still not good enough for the Kansas City Chiefs, who are asking for yet another extension to make this final decision. I guess they're still playing ball with Kansas.
Yeah, you know, I was over in Kansas for the weekend. My daughter was moving into her first apartment. We were helping her with that. And this was in the news for sure.
Yeah.
And we drove by the Sprint campus in Overland Park, where that's one of the places that the Royals are considering relocating to. And, you know, the thing about Jeff City is it's some really smart thinkers, not necessarily the politicians or those in government, but the lobbyists are really smart guys and gals. It is their full-time job, and they play a lot of 4 and 5D chess, if you will. And there's a side of me that thinks the Chiefs and the Royals were always going to move to Kansas, always going to move, and this entire thing was for the benefit of the Cardinals.
Wow.
They've interviewed DeWitt III, and he said, no, we purposely chose not to be part of this whole process because the last time down there, they haven't done very well. They're not very well liked for whatever reason. And so this time they sat out in all of this. And, you know, if the Chiefs and the Royals move, the Cardinals are going to get, you know, at least $500 million in improvements on what is, I think it's almost a 20-year-old stadium that needs $500 million more. And so that's the one thing I think you can not pencil in, but in ink, the Cardinals will be getting $500 million as a result of this special session bill. And who knows on the rest.
Wow. Yeah, I'd never thought of it that way, but I knew they would benefit from it, but I never thought that they might be the sole beneficiaries of it here at some point. Maybe the Blues can use some of it, too, for their to upgrade their facility, huh?
Yeah, I think the Blues just went through that about 4 or 5 years ago, and I think the Cardinals saw all that it took for the Blues, and it was very difficult. And, you know, quite frankly, I'm fine with the Chiefs and the Royals moving. Certainly the Royals can move to another part of the country as far as I'm concerned. And the Chiefs, I'm going to watch them on television, so I don't really care either way.
Tell us how you really feel about the Royals, John.
Let them go.
What else do you think about some of the moves that Kehoe made? Because some of them, I really think all of them were fantastic. But the biggest one I thought was maybe him banning the cell phones for students who were in K-12 here in Missouri.
Yeah, I thought that was good, really good, long overdue. See, Mike's an interesting guy, and he's unlike a lot of people that are in politics. Mike doesn't have a real strong political ideology. You know, other than we need to build lots of roads. You know, he was a car dealer for a long time, and he served on the transportation committee early in the 2000s. But what happens is he likes consensus. He's of the belief that if people that represent different parts of our state and our economy, our schools, the Chamber of Commerce, that all of those groups individually have good ideas, or they have their ideas, and Michael listen to them and see what they are, and to the extent that those ideas can get through the legislative process and onto his desk, then he'll sign them and those will become his ideas. He's not ideological. So there's good things and bad things. So obviously I think like school choice is a good thing. He was a believer in that. There's a lot of people that think that's a good idea. It's interesting though, the same year that he signed the biggest school choice bill we've had, he funded public school education by $100 million more than the legislature wanted to. So that's kind of, you know, he's pleasing both sides. He's listening to the consensus. Mike does a lot of Chamber of Commerce stuff. The Kansas City bill, you know, the Chiefs bill, that's a Chamber of Commerce one.
Right.
The cell phone one's a very good one. There's one that I wonder what you guys think about this. I think it's kind of interesting. He signed a bill that if you're a first responder and you've been a first responder for longer than 10 years, then your children all get to go. They get to go to school for free. They get in-state college tuition for free for just about every subject matter, and it's a way of attracting and retaining first responders. And that sounds great and everything, but it really begs the question, well, why just the first responders? So, I mean, that's what Mike is. Mike is trying to build consensus, and he'll sign all different types of bills.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that one when it was being discussed. I, to be honest with you, did not know it had ended up passing.
Yeah. It didn't get it. It's one of those bills that you probably don't want to shine a light on it. I mean, it's a strange thing. So the net result of what he does is government becomes a lot bigger. It becomes involved in a lot of things. Most ideas that people have involve spending money or getting tax cuts. And if you look, he did just that. He expanded government in some areas, and he cut lots of taxes, including the capital gains tax.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the interesting thing about that is you're – and I'm not opposed to the general idea that people who have committed their life to public service, you know, whatever. I'm sure that was the idea behind the bill. What about teachers? Like, you could – that you start down a slippery slope there. Well, if the first responders got this for their children, how about teachers who've served for 20 years or whatever? Why don't their kids get to go to school for free?
Our former military, our mm-hmm. – yeah, that's the
or
problem.
Or just everybody, you know? Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, so it – but – but again, that's a smaller government person or a free market person. They would say, no, we can't sign this bill because what about everybody else? Well, you know, it's kind of like no taxes on tips. So I don't know if you guys are renegotiate your contracts recently, but wouldn't it be wonderful if you could work for minimum wage at the radio station and have the rest of your comp be in tips?
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Just give our Venmo account to people.
Frankly, I think there's going to be a lot of that kind of thing going on. If I'm a cook in a kitchen, do I want to get paid by salary or do I want to get paid by tips? So you see, those ideas sound great, and they sound like you're helping out somebody who deserves a break, but in reality, we all deserve less government and less taxation. And when you get into these, one thing that's consistent with a Keogh administration is if you have a good idea, you better have a really good lobbyist to explain it to the governor if you have any chance of having that pass.
I did see where House Bill 595 got signed by the governor. Representatives Brown and Schroer, then Senator Nick Schroer, I should say, is the one that sponsored that. And it would protect private property rights. It prohibits local governments from limiting what factors landlords can or cannot consider in rental-related decisions, including source of income, credit scores, and rental and criminal history. Because left on their own, cities like the progressive St. Louis Board of Aldermen would try to tell landlords that you can't consider somebody's criminal history or their credit history. And that's nonsense if you're a property owner.
Yeah, I respect the fact that Nick brought that bill forward. That's very much in the weeds kind of bill. I don't know how that works. You know, there's a lot of consternation about you know, what rights do the landlords have, what rights do the renters have. You know, there was much talk this session about it was such a wonderful session that so many things got done. And so the sad reality is when most of these things get done, there's so much minutia and they're so specific to one particular area
yes.
that it's hard for the public to know if it was good or bad, but it got done. So that's what's an overarching theme. It'll be interesting. I am of the opinion that starting with the next year, and I think for the rest of this time that Keogh's serving this first term, there's going to be a lot of fiscal constraints that we haven't had in the state for a better part of 15 years. I think that the big, beautiful bill changed that formula for funding Medicaid, and it's going to have a pronounced impact on the budget. If it doesn't have it right away, it'll be in the it'll be staring them in the face a year or two out. And because most of the like work requirements and things like that are in the big, beautiful bill don't take effect until 28 and to between 28 and 30. But when they do, it's going to have a huge impact on the formula by which Medicaid's funded in the state. And the good times will be over as far as passing all the goodies around, which they certainly did this year.
It's a good point. Expanding it in the first place in Missouri. John, thank you.
Great to be with you, and thanks for the intro. It was really cool.
You can thank Ethan for that. He made that yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ethan. Appreciate it.
Well done. We'll talk to you soon, John. Thank you. All right, coming up, we're going to get to In Other News in just a few minutes. Next hour, Todd Pyro, host of Fox and Friends First, will join us, and we're going to get a friend in here from the Rain St. Louis West talking about suppressors. The Big Beautiful Bill changed the way the law works on suppressors. It will change it. It hasn't yet, but we're going to talk about that in 2A Tuesday at about 7:35. We'll be right back.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
So not quite 2 weeks ago, I was chest deep in the ocean enjoying the beach. So this first story here kind of terrifies me. I just have to tell you that because ever since I saw Jaws, and I happened to be in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina when I saw Jaws, and I was back there thinking about that when I visited a couple weeks ago. They've just caught a 1,000-pound shark near a popular U.S. beach. Yeah. This is near Pensacola, Florida, right? And these guys were out fishing in the Gulf of America, and they caught a 1,000-pound tiger shark. It was 11 feet, 8 inches long. Here's the thing about it. They work for something called Shark and Shore, and they're trying to find big sharks. So they tagged it and put it back in the water.
Here, everyone, go swimming.
What were you thinking about? That's like finding a snake and letting go. Don't do that.
Like, you see those videos where people are like ankle deep in the water and there's a shark that's not too far out. That's what terrifies me.
I know.
That's why I prefer lakes. I love looking at the ocean, but I'd rather swim in a lake.
Well, that's why I'd prefer to be somewhere where the water's a little clearer, like South Florida or the Caribbean, where you can see what's under you.
Before your leg gets bitten off.
So you can see your death.
Exactly. See it coming in.
Okay, I know you probably are not into this, Mark, but I have totally watch these weird videos on social media that are very, very popular right now that involve chefs making these really tiny meals using miniature cooking equipment.
No.
It's a growing trend. Sue, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, it's kind of awesome.
It is.
Absorbing, but crazy.
I know. It's called Kawaii. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Kawaii cooking, which is Japanese for cute cooking. Well, it's a phenomenon that's immensely popular on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. They're everywhere.
Among who?
Well,
you
probably women.
And Sue.
And maybe
women.
Some men.
So we know who their audience is.
Then the women are telling the husbands, hey, did you see this funny video? I mean, they're really cute. Do you back me up on that, Sue?
I totally do.
Small dishes. Is that like small portions? I mean,
why would
you do that?
We're
explain
talking
this.
Teeny, teeny, tiny.
Like dowel size.
Like your thumbnail.
Right.
Like that's the size of the burger.
Yes.
Why?
Because it's like, cute, Mark.
Yes, it's cute and it's difficult and weird.
And it makes them money.
Also
that's
that.
True, too, Ethan.
Yeah. All right. So experts are warning everywhere you go, like a lot of websites these days, even if you're making a purchase for like $90 or $100, it will offer you a buy now, pay later option. Mm-hmm. And maybe if you're a little tight on the budget that month, but you really want it, people are taking them up on this. Well, here's what you need to know. Starting soon, that could wreck your credit. Start up until now, those have not been included on credit reports. Starting this fall, the buy now, pay later thing will be included on your credit report. And people just don't know about this, I don't think. We need to warn them because FICO and all of these announced that they're going to specifically be start incorporating that this fall. So don't think you can get away with that anymore without people. Remember we talked about people using it to buy groceries?
Oh, yeah. Walmart was allowing it.
Oh, my God. That's the stupidest thing ever.
No, never do that. You'll eat your burger and then realize you forgot that you haven't paid for it yet, and you really don't want to then.
Especially if it's tiny.
Did you guys hear that the cost of a stamp has gone up again? So cost of a first-class stamp was 73 cents, and it just was announced that it's now up to 78 cents. And just for context, the year 2000, the price of a first-class postage stamp here in the United States was just 33 cents.
So it's gone up 40 cents and the service has gotten worse?
Pretty much.
I was just going to say that. The service has really improved. So, that makes sense.
You're getting
feel good about that.
Take all the money you made with those forever stamps.
Well, that's true. You worry about it. I'm like, wait, I just ordered something. I don't even know if I should send it through the mail. Maybe I should pay the $20 to have it sent else. You know.
You got to think about it. That's for sure. All right. Coming up, we'll get to our friend Todd Pyro, host of Fox and Friends First at about 7:20. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, it's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Comedy Podcast. We've been described as unscripted, unqualified, and unapologetic. And that came from my mother. See if you agree. The Commercial Break is available Tuesday through Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.